have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hallelujah.
All glory, God.
Can you hear And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the most devastating experiences faced by many is the loss of value in their investment accounts. Monies that were invested to save for retirement decreased in value as the stock market fell. Others with investment in real estate, as the real estate market collapsed, saw their value lost as property market values fell to levels below the amount of debt owed on them. Investment is acceptable and quite honestly expected by God. In Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 26, you may recall the parable of the talents, when the stewards who wisely turned the gifts that they received into even greater value were commended and further rewarded. The steward that simply stored up what was given to him by his master, only to return equal value of what was given, was chastised. This parable tells us that the management of wealth requires that it be invested or multiplied. So the question is always, how do we determine where to invest? First of all, we must pray and depend on God for his wisdom and his direction. No one can predict the markets, so we must direct ourselves to the gentle whisper of our Lord and Savior. Secondly, we must diversify our investments in accordance with Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, which tells us to invest in 7 ventures, yes, and 8. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. This requires allocation of assets in different types of investments that will likely react differently to market conditions and will reduce the risks in your portfolio. Third, you should use minimal or ideally no debt. God tells us that debt puts us in the position of slave to the lender. We must also ensure that we understand the investments that we choose. Generally, people lose money when they invest in something that they do not understand. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, we are reminded that desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Some choose stocks for investment based on products that they enjoy. This is certainly a viable way to develop an initial list of potential stocks to invest in. You should still go further by researching the strength of the company and/or seek the advice of experienced Christian advisors. Finally, we must follow God's principles of planning and patience. Most solid investments take time to yield a good return. When God's principles guide us, greed does not influence our investment decisions, and we have a peace that does not make room for fear. Seek God first in making investment decisions. Diversify your portfolio and minimize your debt. Your wisdom will be rewarded. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Pastor Ernest Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Born in 1962 in Durham, North Carolina, Pastor John P. Key grew up in a large family, the 15th of 16 children. Displaying musical talent at a very early age, he formed his first choir at the age of 13. Moving to California, he studied music with his older brothers, attending the Yuba College Conservatory School of Music in Maysville and becoming involved with the area's top musicians. Inspired by the work of Reverend Dr. James Cleveland during a revival meeting at the PTL, he became involved with New Life Fellowship Church. Devoting himself to gospel music, he began singing and formed the group New Life Community Choir. His first professional break came in 1985 when he became the first artist to be asked to record lead vocals on 2 tracks for the Gospel Music Workshop of America's annual mass choir recording. In 1987, he released his first album with New Life Community Choir entitled Yes, Lord. In 1989, he released his debut solo album entitled Wait on Him. The early 90s brought a flood of awards and accolades, including more than a dozen Stellar Awards, 20 GMWA Excellence Awards, a Soul Train Award, 2 Billboard Music Awards. In 1995, Key and New Life Community Choir reached their first commercial peak with their gold award-winning album, Show Up, which was nominated for a Grammy. Key added full-time ministry to his list of accomplishments. Jonathan Traylor is a Dallas, Texas-based singer, keyboardist, songwriter, and dancer. His music seamlessly melds contemporary gospel, CCM, adult contemporary R&B, and pop. Traylor signed to Motown Gospel after independently issuing his debut album, Stones and Giants. In 2018, the label re-released the LP, and it garnered 1 million streams within a month of release. Growing up, he sang in the youth choir. The family fell into poverty. Traylor cut loans to help support the family. With his earnings, he bought a used Casio keyboard, so he didn't know how to play. He began leading youth and music ministry. He made his debut recording as the frontman for the Christian rock and worship band One Way. Traylor and One Way toured some churches before he decided to go solo, while at the same time he was working on his own career while being a husband and father. Sally Martin was a gospel singer referred to as the mother of gospel for her efforts to popularize the songs of Thomas A. Dorsey and her influence on other artists. Sally Martin was born in Pittsfield, Georgia on November 20, 1895, where she was raised as a Baptist. She joined the Pentecostal movement as a young woman. She began her career singing in holiness churches after coming to Chicago in 1927. Martin's rough singing style combined with the enthusiastic physicality of the holiness church nearly kept her from working with Thomas Dorsey, who was reluctant to hire any singer who could not read music. Martin nonetheless persuaded Dorsey after 3 auditions to hire her as part of a trio he had formed to introduce songs to churches. She marketed Dorsey's songs, organized his finances, developed new avenues for business, and helped launch the National Convention of Gospel Choirs and Choruses Incorporated, NCGCC. Martin was a successful artist in her own right, forming the Sally Martin Singers, in which her daughter, Cora Martin Moore, Dinah Washington, and her brother, Jay May, a gospel music publisher, arranger, composer, and innovator. They were responsible for publishing a number of gospel standards, including the song Just a Closer Walk with Thee. She was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 1991. She passed on June 18, 1988. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Israel New Breed, Hymn of Breakthrough. 9, Mr. Talkbox featuring Jay Moss, Never Leave You. 8, Jonathan Nelson featuring Purpose with Manifest. 7, Jermaine Dolley, I'll Go. 6, Melvin Crispell III, Wonderful Is Your Name. 5, Jason Nelson, Residue. 4, Damon Little, Stand Up. 3, Kiara Sheard and Karen Clark Sheard, Something Has to Break. 2, Todd Delaney, Revelation 4. And once again, back at the number 1 spot, Pamela Mann with Help Me. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your tribute to Sally Martin, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And, of course, you can listen to my good friend, Nina Taylor, each and every Thursday night right here on The Pastor's Corner. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I want to welcome you to our show tonight. We're always excited, always delighted, always looking forward to seeing you and talking with you. I'm not going to have much of a media, social media crowd tonight, but I did invite my TikTok people to get them used to the Pastor's Corner so that they would know what it is that we do. And I'm going to just jump right into it because I'm everywhere, kind of excited. We've got coming up very shortly, less than 72 hours or something like that away. We're going to be doing the 15th annual Holler Back Gospel Music Awards show, and among those, one of our panelists is a recipient. Actually, two of our panelists are recipients for an award from this particular show. So let's go ahead and find out who's with us tonight. Let's start down in Georgia. He's been with me for better than 6+ years. I want to say hello and welcome to Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Are you there tonight, sir? Okay. We have no Apostle Whitlow tonight. That's fine. All right, let's go up to New Haven. I'm looking for Apostle There you are.
I was here. They had me muted. They didn't want to hear my voice. That's okay, though, but I'm here anyway. I know you did that, but I ain't going to call no name.
How you doing?
I'm sorry.
All right. Get everybody out there, Timmy. Get everybody out there because we don't want to lose anybody. We don't want to shortchange
I am
anybody.
Doing it now.
Doing
it's
tonight?
All done. Thank you.
How are you doing tonight, Apostle Whitlow?
And I'm grateful despite being overlooked and muted and unappreciated and forgotten about and unloved.
See, Sister Kippy Kim, you got to make sure you open that mic up because you know you're going to act up, right?
I feel something like George Floyd. I can't breathe. I can't talk because I can't be heard.
Lord have mercy.
Well, it's my Wi-Fi. Blame it on the Wi-Fi. Sorry.
We're not blaming
not
the Wi-Fi. Hey, we're going to blame the person on the Wi-Fi. No, we ain't going to blame anybody tonight. We're going to try to keep all the blame where it belongs, in the trash. Well, let's find out who else is here. Let's go up to New Haven. Apostle Vincent L. Smith, are you with us tonight?
No, I didn't see him today.
Okay, no problem. I was told that Pastor Anna Henderson may or may not be with us tonight, but let's find out. Pastor Henderson, hello.
Hello, hello all. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be back on tonight, and I'm looking forward to the discussion in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. And we just so bless God for you because knowing what you've been through and what you've been dealing with, we're just so happy to see that God has brought you out and brought you out with a mighty hand. Now, let's check and see down in the Atlanta, Georgia area to see if Minister Paula Henderson has made her way with us. Are you with us, my dear sister?
Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I'm so glad to be on with you all tonight.
Amen, amen. And, of course, I always save the best for last, because if she were not here doing what she does, I don't believe we would have a show tonight. Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Bless your heart, my dear sister. How are you feeling today?
Actually, God is the best, and I am doing good. How about you?
You know, I have no problem with being corrected. It is quite obvious that God is the best.
The best.
Okay?
Thing that ever happened to me.
Here is the thing I may need you to understand. God made us who he made us, and,
amen.
You know, he did what he did. Nonetheless, we're going to move on, and I'm looking at a couple of comments on TikTok right here, and y'all got to excuse me if I seem like I'm hesitant. I'm not really hesitant. I know exactly where I want to go. We're going to kind of do the show not nonchalantly because I've got to do some things here because, I mean, I've been kind of paying attention to what's been going on in the world and then paying attention to the cry of not just the body of Christ, but for people across the country, you know. And I mean, I'm kind not to get caught up in it. So let me do this. Minister Paula Henderson, can I get you to pray us in? I'll read the scripture because I want to let Pastor Henderson rest a little bit. And Apostle Whitlow, when Apostle Smith comes on, let me know, Dr. Robinson. Let Minister Henderson, if you'll pray us in, and I'll read the scripture, and we'll kind of talk about what you know. We'll kind of talk about some things tonight, okay? So if you'll pray us in, I would greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come together, even on this radio show, to discuss your word, Lord God, and to feast upon the word that you have given us, Lord God, so our souls might be fed. Lord God, we pray that even as we discuss and talk among each other, Lord God, that you allow there to be perfect clarity in what you would have to say unto your people on today, Lord God. We just ask you to continue to bless us, Lord God, and help us to continue to grow and learn, Lord God, in your word, Lord God, that we may be examples and a light, Lord God, in this world, Lord God. We just ask that you would bless and allow your spirit to rest, rule, and abide in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Listen, tonight, and we had an open discussion just last week. We talked about a multitude of things, and I'm not going to really go back there, but I'm going to say something and share something tonight, and I'm going to ask the question to, I'm not going to ask a question just yet. I'm going to make a statement because how many of us, let me say it like this, and I'm trying to set this up right, and I guess there's no real way to set it up just to go after it. How many of us have sought the face of God for certain things in our lives and for certain things that we wanted to see God work in us, with us, and through us? How many of us have asked God to do certain things on our behalf? You know, we prayed in our prayers, Lord, open this door. Lord, open that door. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And, you know, I mean, we just ask. And then finally, somewhere down the line, God really responds to the request that we make. And it seemingly catches some of us off guard. Well, tonight I want to go into, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm going to look at verses 9 and 10, and I'm going to look for all of you panelists to kind of share something with me. Let me read the scripture, and I'm going to go from there because I do have a statement that I do want to make, and we're going to jump off into the deep end from there. I don't know where this is going to go. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I got this all planned out. You know, some show hosts want to make you think that their stuff is, all what it is. And I'm looking at people on TikTok talking about the Bible is a collection of Iron Age fairy tales. And see, that goes to show you they don't know who God is. They have no clue who our God is. They're just people that are taking in air and existing until the day they die, and it's on that day they're going to meet Almighty God. But let's go into the scriptures because I'm going to let them talk tonight, and if they're on TikTok and they're talking crazy, I'm going to let them talk crazy because when I go back and read the comments, I'll respond to them then. Here it is, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 from the NIV version. It says, "And Jabez was honored more than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request." I want to zone in on those last five words. And God granted his request. Tonight, I want to put this statement out there. You asked for it. But here is the question that I want to ask the panel tonight. What are you asking God to stretch? Y'all with me so far? I want that to seep in for a minute. What are you asking God to stretch? A lot of us will ask God to do a lot of things in our lives, and God's plan for our lives does involve growth. And with that growth, there are obstacles. There are things that we have to deal with. There are things that we have to go through. There are things that we sort of kind of have to put up with. With that comes expansion, and with that expansion comes responsibility. Are you ready to experience growth? Let me start with the ladies first. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, what are you asking God to stretch and why? Take yourself off mute.
That is a good question. I'm asking God to do for me is to continue on keeping my focus and to allow me to keep looking forward, because there are times you can take inventory over your life and you can stay there and stay stuck. So I want to continue on staying focused, continue on staying hungry for his word, continue on being faithful. I want to continue on being a loving daughter for him. And I want to continue on loving people. Of course, we want to be our best. I must ask him those things on a daily basis, because there are times I don't feel like doing things. And so those are the things that I'm asking from him, because I need to continue on pressing towards the high calling mark, which is in Christ Jesus. And if I ask him to do those things, and if he feels that I'm sincere, I know he will grant that, because I am his daughter. So those are the things I'm looking for.
Okay. Minister Henderson, same question, please.
Amen. I totally agree. I kind of have the same consensus with Dr. Kimmy Kim and hi, sis. And to bring God glory, to continue to empty myself that he may get, you know, magnified in my life, to continue to keep faith in him. For the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And because it is my desire to please him, that I want my faith to stay intact. I want to keep a believing heart. I want to keep my life clean so that he can use me. So, to empty myself, you know, that he may get the maximum glory out of my life. And that challenges me as a believer to continue to stay humble before him, continue to allow him to work through me, so that at the end, you know, he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So I want him to get the glory out of my life so that I would please him and have walked this, would not have walked this far in vain, but that he was able to say that was my child. He gave me the glory and life.
All right. Now, let me ask you, Pastor Henderson, and I will say this too. If any of you feel like you need to come back and add to what you said, I really want you to really, and those of you by TikTok and Facebook, welcome. We want to get you to dig deep inside. What is it that you are asking God to stretch in your life?
Are you still asking?
Go ahead.
Was the question still at me, or had you passed it on?
Yes. It's still at you. What are you asking God to stretch?
I'm asking him to continue to stretch my faith. And I don't really want to say stretch my faith, but stretch me out of me. Stretch me to the, you know, to the point where I'm looking beyond myself and my abilities. We know we hear the scripture that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And to get beyond myself and my abilities, to be able to see that God wants to stretch me to another level, another dimension, where I'm out of myself, where I'm actually being stretched to the place where I'm not looking inwardly for me to do the work that he's called me to do. But to be able to see him, as Dr. Timothy said, that focus is just truly looking to him out in the finish of our faith, that we may go to the place and do the things that God would have us to do in him.
Uh-huh.
And so what it does is it stretches us out of our comfort zone. It stretches us sometimes, you know, in a place and we feel like, okay, I'm here in this place doing what God would have me to do. But a lot of times God wants to stretch us beyond the place where we are and to be able to do things that we never thought that we would be able to do. So that stretches us and causes us to come out of a place where we felt comfortable or where we felt like our abilities and our talents were being used. But just when you feel like, you know, you're doing what God would have you do, so God takes us to another place and says, I want to stretch you a little further because I want to use you in another dimension. And even though it may be uncomfortable to you, I got to stretch you because I want to get some more glory. So bring on God to just stretch me to the dimension that he would have me to go so that I will fulfill the destiny that he ordained for my life.
Oh, beautiful. Now, I saved you last, Apostle Whitlow, because I'm expecting to hear something from you as well as what I've heard. I've heard the
Apostle
lady.
Apostle Westbrook.
Apostle Westbrook, bless you. How are you today? So happy to have you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We'll come to you in a minute. But Apostle Whitlow, what are you asking God to stretch in your life?
Well, man of God, I'm always asking God, and I'm so serious when I say this, I'm always asking God to stretch my faith and my finances. Just that simple, because those are the two things. Listen, what my faith won't get, finances will. And what my finances won't get, faith will. So I'm always asking God to stretch my finances.
All right. Well, bless God. Now, Apostle Westbrook just joined us. First and foremost, God bless you. How you doing today, Apostle Westbrook?
Hey there. How are you, everyone?
We're doing excellent. Listen, we're talking about the subject tonight. We're talking about the subject tonight. You asked for it. My question first is, what are you asking God to stretch in your life?
Wow.
Come on.
Wow, that's powerful. Glory to God. Because it's interesting, I was just talking to a woman of God just recently, and and we both concur, amen, that we know he already said that it is already a finished work, amen, and that all that we need is already provided. To seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing that we both concur with, hallelujah, was that my cry is, Lord, I desperately need you in this hour. I desperately seek him with every part of me. It is not just a submission, complete, absolute submission. And in doing that and coming to I think it was an epiphany for me in that I looked at my greatest example, and he said his only desire and will and purpose was to do the will of the Father, and then everything he needed in his ministry, in his journey, was provided. But most importantly, it wasn't the physical things, the material things, but it was the elevation, and it was the elevation, let me say this, the elevation, the promotion that he received in the Spirit, especially when the Spirit of God descended upon him after his baptism. He wasn't seeking any sort of platform. Ha ha, my God, today. Any sort of accolades. He didn't want more people to acknowledge him. He wasn't looking for more likes. He wasn't even looking for more resources. Oh, my God, today. He was looking the only thing. I don't know, but for me, I can only speak for me, and I believe, as I said, the woman of God, and if I sound like I'm on 100, it's because it's just like when you discover something. that next level. So for me, if I haven't talked around in circles, amen, and if I sound like I'm excited because I am, because it's like my purpose and my mission have collided, and I know why I have been apprehended. So my greatest desire, I desperately seek him, want him, need him. Hallelujah.
Okay. So let me throw this in here. Here's what
oh, here you go.
Here's what I picked up, what everybody said. Now let me, Sister Bostic on Facebook turned around and says, I'm asking God to stretch my praise to him. That's a beautiful thing, Sister Bostic. And that's the one thing God likes to inhabit, praise. You're asking for a great thing. I'm looking at people who want their faith stretched, their finances stretched, their relationship stretched, to be more conformed to the image of Christ, to be more obedient, to be more submissive, to be more cognizant of his spirit, to be God inside minded, to be Christ centered. Well, let me throw some things at you as we've read 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 in the NIV. I opened up and said that God's plan for your life actually involves growth. And with that growth, there comes expansion. And with that expansion, there comes responsibility. With that responsibility, there comes accountability. And with that accountability, character develops in the midst of all that. Now, everybody on this line can agree with what I'm about to say. And if you disagree, I don't mind you stepping up and saying, look, there are times in our lives when we're faced with extreme and difficult decisions. And the choices that we make can either be the beginning of what we'll call a fresh start, or we can find ourselves trying to revitalize our family. We can find ourselves trying to reinvent ourselves, trying to get a job that is more conducive to what it is that we've been groomed to do. And with that fresh start could be for us, could be for our family. It can either be that fresh start, or it can lead us to the collapse of the world of familiarity and the comfort that we've become so accustomed to. Everybody on this line knows somebody who attempted to handle a situation that somehow got messed up in the process, and it ended up backing themselves into a corner with no means of escape. And that person found themselves boxed in with no way out. I don't know about you, but when I asked the question, I said, you asked for it. I'm going to get to the scripture in a minute. I asked God first and foremost to stretch my desire to be more God inside minded. I need to be more Christ-centered. I love what you said, Apostle Westbrook, but at the same time, I have to look at it like this. As your faith and your destiny collide, here you are. That means you're conforming to the image of Christ. And if you ask to conform to the image of Christ, faith and destiny can't help but to meet one another, because there's a crossroad in life that every one of us has to come to where we have to make a decision whether it's worth it to go forward to do what it is we want to do, or is it just smarter for us to stay where we are. We would not be on Elations Radio today if Dr. Kimmy Robinson did not ask God to stretch her out in the area of radio. I wouldn't be talking to you by way of radio. You would not be responding to me by way of radio. You could say the same for Elations Magazine. We could say that for Prophetic Dimensions. We could say that for Healing Mountain Ministries. We could say that for Power to Stand Outreach Ministry. We could say that, Minister Henderson, for your church down there where you are when you're doing what you're doing, or Apostle Henderson. I done elevated you again, sis. Pastor Henderson, my point is simply this. We come into situations and circumstances, and then when we get in a place where it feels like the world is caving in on us, everything is closing down on us, it becomes more weighty than we had expected, we forget the fact that we asked for it. Does that make sense to anybody? Let me hear from anybody that wants to respond to that. We forget that we asked God for this. Did we pay attention? Did we count up the cost? Did we pay attention to what it would take to get this thing done? Come on, y'all, talk to me. And I hear cricket.
No, no. Hello. Amen. No cricket.
Come on. Talk to me.
I'm driving, so I don't want to prevent someone else that was going to speak. Amen. Go ahead.
Please pay attention to the road. We here tomorrow and the day after that, too. You know, leaving here early don't look good. Tomorrow don't look like God's got that in his plans for you. Apostle Whitlow, talk to me.
Man of God, you are so incredibly right that when we ask God for stuff, we have to be mindful that he has to prepare us for it. I'm always mindful of Ephesians 3:20, which
mm-hmm.
tells us now unto him that is able to be feeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, I say this very, God is already at work in our lives because of something
Amen.
That we have prayed for. He's already
uh-huh.
up to something. He's already, and I firmly believe, this is just me now, this is Apostle Whitlow 1:1. Anytime we ask
right.
God to do something different, I believe he has to stop what he has been working on to start another thing because of what we've been asking for. Then we wonder why we go through trials, because what is God doing? He is, again, preparing us for the thing we ask for. Every time we ask God, this is why our prayer has to be so consistent. Because every time
yes.
we ask for God for something, God has to start our process over again. And then we wonder why things are taking so long to happen. Now when it happens, it's like, oh my gosh, what's this all about? It's because, what, you prayed for it, but then praying for it and waiting for it are two different things. Over in Hebrews, I believe 10 and about 35 or something, it says you have need of patience after you have done the will of God that you may obtain the promise. So therefore, there are things that God is wanting to do, there are things that God is waiting to do, and there is things
uh-huh.
that God is working on. So what do we want to do? Do we want to wait? Do we want, or do we want God to do the work? Or do we just want? Let me hold up
All
right,
right
there.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give the rest of you a chance. But for those of you, whether you're on Facebook Live or whether you're on TikTok, if you want to join the discussion, 646-564-9842. That number again, 646-564-9842. Evangelist Bostic, I see that we win God's favor by enduring our trials and tests. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Ladies, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Pastor Henderson, Minister Henderson, and even Apostle Westbrook, either one of you, come talk to me for a split second. I mean, and I like what you said about the request and the wait being sort of different. Is it possible that when we ask God for certain things, what is it with this microwave society that we're dealing with where people feel like when we pray and ask God for something, it has to happen right here, right now, instantaneously. It has to manifest in its fullness. You see, we keep forgetting something, and I don't want to go too far because I'm like ready to preach on this one, but I want to hear from you guys. What is it that we are trying? Why are we so what's the word I'm looking for? So attached to this microwave society that we're in. Anybody got an answer? Anybody got a clue? Anybody want to try to share with me and with this radio audience and make them understand? I mean, this name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, grab it, that type of thing. What is it with this microwave society that intrigues people to think that God is an ATM and all you do is press a couple of buttons in prayer and whoo-ba, there it is. Or as Naughty by Nature said years ago, ooh, there it is.
It don't work that way.
That wasn't naughty by nature. Sorry, that wasn't naughty by nature. That was.
Well, you got to tell me who it was, because I don't know. You can tell me
but anyway, I can't speak for.
First of all, tell me who
that
was.
That was tag team. Back it again. That was back in Florida. Sorry,
yep.
I don't forget.
That was who?
Yep.
That was who?
Tag team.
I don't know who that is. Nonetheless, I heard the song.
But anyway,
the bottom line is the phrase is what counts. See, I want us to focus on and seriously focus on this because what's going
on? I'm very focused
on
it. I just like to have fun. I'm just
falling. Let me finish talking, sis. Let me finish talking. The church is falling. The spirit of apostasy seems to be entering the church to the place and point where the church is so much like the world that you can't tell the difference between them. Now, I recognize that Jesus says, let the wheat and tare grow together. In the end, I'll do the separating. But at the same time, if we are going to be real for God, if we're going to walk according to his word and not to the dictates of our flesh, when we come to God in prayer asking him for specific things, we've got to recognize that there is a cost to what it is we're asking for. John 12:24 says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. What we're looking at is simply this. I know Jesus was talking about his death, burial, and his resurrection, but the spiritual principle that he's laying down right there, that when something is planted, it takes time for it to germinate. It takes time for it to grow root. It takes time for it to get established. It takes time for the needed and necessary nutrients to absorb that seed. But let's go back a little further. As I'm saying, you ask for it and asking God to stretch you. Do you not recognize that when seed is first planted into the ground, it looks one way, and then underneath that earth, whether it's 6 inches or 3 feet or however deep you got to plant that seed, there is a decomposition taking place with that seed, where that seed is changing from what you first saw it as to what it's supposed to be, so that it will ultimately become what it shall be. Now, in saying this, I'm putting this out here because a lot of us are right on the precipice of blessing. A lot of us are right on the very cutting edge of breakthrough. A lot of us are in a position where the anointing is going to flow through us like an old bottle of wine. When you pop the cork, you can tell that it's vintage. And I'm saying that to say this. If we're going to be in that position, we can't allow situations and circumstances to push us into messed up conditions. We can't allow them to back us into a corner. We can't allow them to put us in a point and place where it feels like there's no way out. Some people right here, as we are speaking, whether it's by radio or by social media, are dealing with dead-end jobs and a freak control of a boss. Others are dealing with dysfunctional family members, and they're trying to work their way through a lifeless marriage, or they're dealing with a toxic relationship, and they're causing so much pain to the point that there are days when they get in their car and go off to work as if it's the greatest thing that ever happened, but when it's time to go home, they find themselves in a position where they just want to stay in their car and drive past their place of residence because they don't have enough strength to deal with the chaos that occupies the premises where they pay bills. And let's not forget the effects of financial stress and instability that's going on here in America now that has caused some homes to make some people feel trapped, and they're looking for some kind of solution to keep them out of the storm of economic disaster by way of eviction of apartments and foreclosures of their homes. What are we asking God to stretch us for? And in asking him, remember, you ask for it, which means there has to be a transition and a transposing for you to bring you to the place where you can be what God needs you to be. I'll show you something else. When you look at people like Moses, Moses could not go and lead the children of Israel in the condition that he was in because Moses, well, I'll be honest with you, Moses was just like a lot of us, a lot of mouth, and he backed it up, too, on a couple of occasions. He had to leave where he was for 40 years before he could return. All those witnesses that might have known about him killing that Egyptian, they were probably gone by then. But here, let me let y'all talk because I'm going off the deep end. I'm trying to keep it down to a limit, but at the same time, folks, I have to ask the question again. What are you asking God to stretch in your life? Now I need to know from you, in asking God, are you willing to go through whatever it takes to get where God wants you to be? Come on and talk to me again. Anybody, the floor is open.
Praise the Lord. Man of God, you said a mouthful there. Glory to God. But I want to go back to your original question and that was placed on the floor after Apostle Whitlow and was in reference to why we're impatient. Why are we so in a hurry? Why are we trying to rush the process? Why are we not allowing the process to have its full work, making full proof of our ministry? I look at, again, the examples that we've been given, and as you were speaking, I thought about the scripture that says that many are called, few are chosen, and also that whom he called, he predestined. Albeit that, and I am speaking for myself, amen, I believe that the Spirit of God in my calling made accommodations for my stupidity when I was ignorant, when I was slothful, when I did not have understanding, that he gave that grace, that allowance. In essence, it is a finished work. The only person that can mess it up is me.
That's it.
The Father is perfect. There are no errors in his judgment. And he is so astounding to me is that he had full confidence in my calling, in my election. The Word of God says that it is sure. And so subsequently I believe, and I don't know if Dr. Kimmy Kim and the woman of God, amen, jump in here anytime you want. I believe that it is so important, and as I go back to what I said earlier, it is a desperation for me now to get it right.
Yeah.
He has given me so many exercises of grace. I would have to be a mule, and you know, a big God. It is just so evident that his hand has demonstrated to me, daughter, if you will only hearken after me with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, and I want a complete, absolute submission from you. Let me be the driver. Let me do the driving. The execution is already excellent. Amen. It's his plan. I'm just a vessel. And I think we're all just vessels. And when we get out of his way and stop making our own way, glory to God, then that's when the scripture comes into play that all things do work together for our good, for those who are the called according to his purpose.
Uh-huh.
Then the scripture comes into play that we triumph always in Christ Jesus. Then the scripture comes into play that we have the mind of Christ. And if I have apprehended the mind of Christ, then I should have an expectation that there will be a manifestation of what he said. And then the scripture comes into play. As they believe, thus have I spoken. It's just so profound to me, just connecting the dots. So there is no hit and miss. Glory to God. The only hit and miss comes is when I put myself, my intellect, my agenda in the way of his plan and his will for my life.
All right. Anybody else want to comment?
Man, I was just thinking as the conversation was going forward, I was thinking about where we are right now in this pandemic and everything that's happening in our world around us, worldwide.
Uh-huh.
And I truly believe that God is stretching his people in prayer And, you know, I was thinking today, and that's my desire even the more. Today I found myself just crying out in a whole different way. It's like I was crying out for the nation. I was crying out for the church. I was crying out for those who don't know the Lord, for those who are in the world. It was just like a cry in my spirit, you know, that he was just, I was just crying out because I felt the burden, you know, and I found myself just crying out in a whole different way. And God is stretching us, if nothing else, he's stretching us out in prayer. Because as you were saying about the transition and the transformation, that God is transitioning us into that another place. And so that we may be the transformed people that will bring about change. There's so much happening, as you said. People driving by their home, driving, you know, just want to keep on driving because they got so much that's on them. So many things that's going on in the world, in the church, in our nation. And I believe God is stretching us out in prayer. And this is not a selfish thing anymore. I mean, it's not just about what we need and what we want. But God is calling his people to cry out. You know, I remind of Daniel, he cried out for the people. You know, he cried out for the nation. He cried out not just for himself. And I believe that God is transitioning us and wanting us to stretch out so that he can be glorified, not just for our territory to be enlarged, but that others' territory will be enlarged, that people that don't know the Lord will come to know the Lord, that the church will get back to the place that God would have the church to be, that our nation would fall on their knees and repent and get back into the place. So there's a worldwide transitioning that's happening in the earth today. And I really believe that all of this is birthing God's people to stretch out in prayer like never before. And I just really felt that today is just my prayer took a whole different turn when I was praying. And I just felt like that's what God is calling for us to do. We got to stretch out. We got to stretch out in our prayer life. We got to stretch out and get before the Lord like never before. And, you know, and so that God can be glorified in our life, because when he's glorified in our life, then he'll be glorified in somebody else's life. And for those that are waiting on the Lord, wait on him. Those who have a real relationship with him and knows that God is a God of his timing. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. But as we continue to stay in our faith and continue to stretch out in him, to allow him to be God, you know, we will see what God is doing in our life. And to stay encouraged, because the more that you stay before the Lord, he will lift the heavy burden. He will help you to endure. He will help you to have the peace that you need. He will give you that rest. So it all goes back to, as we stay before the Lord, that he will cause us to be the people that will be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm reminded of the people of God when they were in Egypt. Even though all those things were going on, the people of God was in Goshen. God was able to keep his people. And when they came out, the Bible says none was sick among them. And not only that, they came out with silver and gold. God wants to enlarge the territory of his people. But we got to wait on him. We got to trust him. And we got to know that who we are, that God is taking care of his people. And those that are not out of the ark of safety that we know are not safe, we have a responsibility to pray for them. You know, we have a responsibility where much is given, much is required. So we can't just be sitting on our little mountain, our little hill, and, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want you to do this for my family. I want you to... No. We have a responsibility to pray for those we know are challenged, those that are going through, those that don't feel like they can make it. We got to stretch out on our prayer beyond ourselves so that we can rescue somebody else that feels like giving up. And that's the responsibility of the church. That's the responsibility of true believers. You know, I'm reminded when Peter was in prison, they began to pray, you know, and God gave them a miracle. We gotta pray.
That's
it's just praying time.
Yes.
Yeah. And God is stretching us out in prayer, and I really believe that.
No, and you know
I love what you said, woman of God, because I totally agree with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I think it's so much bigger than that. Big picture, kingdom perspective. If we have the mind of Christ, we're going to pray. He said men should always pray. That's not new. But to have the burden, the fruit of the Spirit in full operation, to have more love, to have more compassion, to have more gentleness, to have more kindness, to have more meekness, to take on his similitude, amen, to have the mind of Christ, then we will have the heart to pray. Then we will have the heart to turn over our plate then we'll have compassion to go out to the streets, glory to God, and not just be within the four walls of our building. I'm telling you, it's so much big picture than that. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I'm a prayer. I'm a woman that prays. I believe in Jeremiah 9, hallelujah, 17 to 21, the wailing women need to come forth, but the travailing men need to come forth too. But it's not just the element of praying. It's not just that he wants us to expand in praying. He wants us to expand so that we can have the capacity to experience the fullness of the Godhead and all that he is. To know,
you know what?
Hallelujah, the power of his suffering and the power of his resurrection.
I can agree with what you're saying, and I have to throw this in there because, see, a lot of times, and here's where I find that when we put ourselves in a position where we're going to cause ourselves to be at a level of invincibility, this is where we fool ourselves because we have expectations.
No, man,
that
it's not about invincibility. It's about weakness. It's about surrendering.
Let me finish, please. Everybody is not where a lot of us are. There are people struggling, people that are listening to this show right now that are struggling. And I brought these things up simply because we have to put this on the surface. These are the individuals that we're reaching out to. These are the individuals that need to hear this word. Some of them are on the verge
of truth.
And these are the people who are on the verge of foreclosure, about to, as a real estate agent. I don't even want to talk about the people I've spoken to that have lost their homes in the last 2 years. Love the Lord with all their heart, paid their tithes, prayed consistently, but still their home was repossessed. Still their vehicle was repossessed. Still their children can no longer go to college because they cannot afford it. Still some of them ended up homeless and in situations that forced them to make daily decisions as to whether their family eats and where their family sleeps. All this can be mind-boggling and somewhat overwhelming, but we have to recognize and realize that when we stretch out, and I want to try to get to the text because we haven't even touched the text. That's why, and I'm not trying to cut you off, Apostle Westbrook. I'm just trying to bring this into everything, into the big picture here as we talk about you asked for it. Some of us don't recognize and realize who we are in Christ. There are Christians, born-again, baptized believers who are suffering an identity crisis. I'll show you something. Go on social media and look at how many quote-unquote Christians are exposing their physical bodies and doing that all about me thing. I mean, the bottom line is simply this. We've got to come to a point and place where we let God be who he is in our lives. We go as far as we can, and when we can go no further, we have to look to the hill from which cometh our help, recognizing that our help comes from God and that we're going to make the rest of this journey because, A, number one, God said so. Come on and finish what you're saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
That's
I agree with you. We're not talking. We're, you know, apples a dozen here or 12, whatever. We're saying the same thing. Amen. Just in a different vernacular. But I just want to be very clear in that I agree with the woman of God, but I'm expanding that. Hallelujah. I agree what you have said, but I'm expanding it. I think that if we become so microscopic and say it's one thing, we've missed it. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all very pertinent. It's all very relevant. But one thing I believe the Spirit of God is saying, yes, I want you to expand. I want you to go beyond your limitations. I want you to let my capacity, hallelujah, be in full manifestation in you, that you no longer put limitations on me so that I can meet the needs of my people, so that I can use you as a vessel to, hallelujah, extend me to them. You know, it is so crazy out here. You are right. My God, today, you look at Facebook and you say, oh, my God, look, I'm speechless. They even have titles that identify them as leaders in the body of Christ. It's appalling. It's appalling. It's a
disgrace.
You're
not by yourself. When I see so-called, and I'm not going to sit there and say that we can't have fun. Yes, we can have fun. But everything has its limitation. Now, Paul said all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And that just simply means that everything ain't needed and or necessary for the time in which we live in. I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. I'm not putting anybody down. And I need to hear from you, Dr. Robinson, from you, Minister Paula, and I need to hear from you, Apostle Whitlow. Y'all sitting quiet. I appreciate this conversation. Here's what I'm trying to get at. When we find ourselves in a situation where it seems like the world is caving in us, we've got to learn how to cry out and ask God to change us, not our circumstances, because asking God to change our circumstances is like asking God to take us away from that which he is using to develop us. See, people don't understand. If you're born again, baptized, blood washed, blood bought, tongue token, Bible quoting Christian, God uses the circumstances of life as a person that's mining gold has to take the dross and the slag and all the excess unnecessary metals off of it. He puts that gold in fire, and that fire burns off all that excess nonsense. And God sometimes has to use adversity, situations, and circumstances to burn the excess nonsense off of all of us. But now keep in mind, we ask for it. You say, well, Pastor, how did I ask for it? Did you not ask God for a closer relationship to him? Did you not ask God to help you to be more obedient to him? Did you not ask for a move of God in your life? Did you not pray for revival? Hello? I'm just saying. Come on, y'all. Talk to me. Thank you, Apostle. I enjoyed that. Come on.
Can I just add something
there,
too? Go ahead. I'm going to say a little short comment, and then let Minister Henderson, I think I heard her coming on. I want to say that prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us.
Yes.
You know, prayer changes us. So the more that we commune with him, it changes us so that God can use us when he wants to use us. So that's what I see prayer doing. The more you pray, the more God shows you. The more you begin to transition and transform into the person he wants you to be. So that's how I look at prayer, that God is taking us to a place in prayer that causes us to really come into our true identity to who we are.
Amen.
Because we really are more than who we think we are. And so
Amen.
I was just trying to get that prayer changes us, not God.
It reveals who we are. Amen.
Exactly. Now, I will say this. Let me try to get the scripture in here. There's some, and when we look at verse 10, verses 9 and 10, verse 10 really is commonly known. We've been calling it for years now since we first heard it for our generation, and it's been around for decades. But I think somewhere in the early 90s, they coined the phrase the prayer of Jabez. And that particular prayer in itself is composed of four different parts. Excuse me. That means Jabez prayed. And when I'm bringing this up and saying you ask for it, anytime you go to God in prayer, we have to learn how to be specific in what it is that we are praying for. We have to be direct. You see, we'll come in, I don't know what it is. We act like God is some type of gumball machine. Throw a penny in, and whatever color gumball comes out, that's what we're going to chew on. Well, no, God is far more than a gumball machine. Let's break these four things down. And we're not going to have time to do all of them tonight, but we're going to do the best we can with what we can work with. The prayer has the first part. Jabez is asking God, number one, to bless him. Is it right or wrong for us to ask God to bless us? Talk to me, y'all.
I think it's always based upon your condition. If you pay attention again to Jabez, you know his name is pain. He's acquainted with pain. His mother conceived him and bare him in pain. So his life is a life that is. So any person who is living a painful life would feel like they're under a curse, and they would want that change to a blessed life. So here's what I'm saying. If your condition is requiring you to feel like you're living in pain and shame and disappointment and guilt, then you need a blessing. Otherwise, when you're in fellowship with God, you don't need to ask for something that you have for two reasons. One, the Bible says that we've been blessed with all blessings in spiritual places in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you're already blessed. Not to mention, when God made man, right, he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You are blessed on two sides, both in the heavens and on earth. That's just my opinion. I don't know much. I'm just talking.
Well, no, I appreciate that. Come on. Somebody was getting ready to say something?
Well, the scripture says in Psalms, Lord, bless me indeed. And Psalms 103 says that he blesses us daily with benefits. So, I mean, if it's in the mind of God that we should be a blessed person, amen, then our mindset, our perception and perspective should be that we are a blessed people. So, no, it is not a bad thing for us to say, Lord, bless me. Hallelujah.
But now, let me say this, Apostle Westbrook, and thank you both for saying what you just said. What is it with us as born-again believers, as the children of the Most High, why is it that we don't recognize that we've already been blessed and won't walk or won't attempt to walk in the blessings that have already been provided? I mean, and I'm just trying to be, because, you know, I'll give you a good example. Well, it ain't a good example, but it's a good enough example. I know as we get older, and might as well be real about it, I'm 63, and maybe one of y'all might be older than me on here. And I'm not going to say who, but don't answer to that
person. I'm older than you.
You see, I told you not to answer. So that's disobedience. Did I just say don't answer? That's disobedience. I said don't answer. But in my little 63 years of living, there are days when I get up out of bed, and I jump up thinking that I'm going to have all this energy, and my body says, hold up, wait a minute, get your butt back in the bed. I ain't ready yet. And every ache and pain that could possibly make itself known suddenly comes out of nowhere. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that because, you know, as we age, we have to do certain things to maintain. But my point is, there are individuals, and we're dealing with people who don't recognize the fact that although your body aches, you're above the earth. You're not under the earth. Dirt is only on you, and that which may have gotten on you when you were working the day before if you failed to take a shower. There is not 6 feet of dirt on top of you, and you're in a coffin somewhere and just waiting for the resurrection, if in fact you're going to make it. I'm trying to make somebody, if you got eyes to see, that's a benefit. If you got ears to hear, that's a benefit. If you got a voice to talk, and we're talking about all these different things. Do you know how many people don't have some of the things we're talking about today? There are people who would kill to be able to see again, to be able to walk again, to be able to talk again, to just have their senses intact. How many? And here we are. We take it for granted just because we can rise out of bed and go do whatever it is we want to do, and we act like God ain't did nothing. You're right, Apostle Westbrook. Thanks for bringing up Psalm 103 because it's actually on my list. He daily loaded us with benefit. We've got to recognize that this is not, you know, our life is not ours. Our life doesn't belong to us, sinner or saint. It's not yours. You're here for a limited amount of time, and there's a time coming when you're going to leave the face of this earth. The question is, between life and death, what is your, oh, that's a whole nother message right there. Between life and death, what's your story? You're preaching your story right now. Go ahead.
Bishop-elect, I believe that, you know, and Dr. Kim can attest to this, every opportunity that I'm given by her graciousness to come on Shabbat Saturday, amen, and I immediately acknowledge him and thank him just for that very thing, amen. My God, today
amen.
I'm speaking. My God, today I woke up. My God, today I can see and I'm in my right mind. Hallelujah. I have mobility. And, you know, and it's these types of things that seem very maybe insignificant to some, but listen real good. It's very significant to me when I think about that just last year, how he, hallelujah, healed me, literally healed me with a miracle of delivering me from cancer. Glory to God. How
bless
he
God.
Healed
Amen.
me. He is the one that gives me the movement and the ability. It is his breath that I breathe, amen, and I give it back to him with a Shabbat and a hallelujah and an amen and a thank you. And so, there is nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. Anything that will glorify him, that will give him his due honor and glory and praise, he deserves it all. Amen. The very fact that we are here, that you are here, that, hallelujah, he deserves our praise and our honor and our acknowledgement. So, and if I sound like I'm adamant, because I am. Amen. It's a reality.
You are saying something that every last one of us should acknowledge. Now, I want to throw something out there. We talk about the first part of this four-part prayer that Jabez prayed. He first asked God to bless him, and God blesses him. Second, now here's the part where we get kind of mixed up and start acting like tossed salad. Here we go. The second part, he asked God to enlarge his territory. In other words, he's asking God to increase his responsibility. Now, how many of us are going to pray that type of prayer to ask God to increase our, when you're asking God to enlarge your territory, you're asking God to increase your responsibility. I'm just a few short months from becoming a bishop, and the responsibility of being a bishop and all that goes with it increases my responsibility to the church and to the people whom God has assigned me. And this isn't just some fly-by-night title where just because I got four box tops and $4.95 and I sent it in somewhere and they send me back a piece of paper that says, boom, you're a bishop. Understand this, beloved, no matter what your title is, no matter what your office is. And I want to say this to those of you who want to turn around and say that a title is not important. First and foremost, you better go back and read your scripture, because it is God who gives the titles to these individuals who walk in these titles. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors. He gave teachers. He gave bishops. You read about them. He gave overseers. He put them in there. There is a reason why God allowed these individuals to be where they are, because these people specialize in the areas and offices that they walk in. And their job is to equip and prepare you, the laity, or those who are in the laity, to go out into the hedges and to go out into the highways and compel people to come to Jesus, to bring them to the various buildings. The church is not the building. The church are the organisms that make up the vine that is attached to God through Jesus Christ. The building is just the assembly place, okay? I want to make that clear, too, because we got too many folks running around to my, well, I'm not wrapped, tied, tangled in titles, and I ain't worried about it. My mama named me James. We know what your mama named you. And oh, wait a minute, let me throw one more out there. Apostle Whitlow, you appreciate this one, and whoever saw this movie. My name is Samaj. Boy, your name is James. That's what your mother named you. Anyway, let's move on. The bottom line is simply this. We have to get in a position. If we're going to ask God to enlarge our territory, and let's talk about God enlarging our territory. What territory or what areas of our lives do we want God to enlarge? I mean, for me, I need to be more involved in evangelism and missions, more so than I have before. Okay? We need to allow the Spirit of God to work with me more, because of the fact that I see the lost. I see the dying. We went to Haiti a few weeks ago, and it was by the grace of God an earthquake struck the southern, southwestern part of Haiti. I was exactly 203 miles from where that earthquake struck. And believe it or not, I'm sitting in the building, and me and some brothers are talking. We're getting ready to go down to the place that we're preparing for the children to move into within a couple of weeks. And the building is literally swaying. Listen to me. I have never seen this in my life. The building is swaying back and forth. We had to get out of there because I didn't know how much stress that building could take, and that thing could have collapsed at any given point in time. That could have been me in that earthquake. Mm. That could have been me in that building. So if I'm going to ask God to enlarge my territory and give me more responsibility, I have to get in a hurry and have a strong desire to move forward and to do the things that God called me to do. And all who want to go with me, I encourage you, come on, let us go and get this thing done together. We ain't got time for the big eyes and the little U's. We ain't got time to sit there and act like, you know, I'm all that, two bags of chips, a Coke, and a smile. It ain't about me. It is about the kingdom. I'm trying to snatch some people out of the fire, saving them to the place and point that even their very clothing will not smell like smoke. Is there anybody on this line that's with me? Anybody?
I think Bishop Elect, that when you said something, you said that when you ask God to increase you, or rather to enlarge your territory, you're really telling them to give you more responsibility.
Yeah.
And ironically, that is something that people are asking for every time they ask for a greater anointing, or they ask for a greater. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So every time you're saying, Lord, I want a greater anointing, what you're saying is you want a greater responsibility for that anointing. Every time you're saying,
right,
I want a greater revelation, you're asking for a greater responsibility of what God is showing you. Every time you're saying, Lord, take me higher, what you're saying is you want a greater authority and greater responsibility in warfare. These are not things that are just by chance. These are things that are reality, that you're talking about. I want more here. I want more there. And, Lord, if you can give it to me, so give it to me. So God is saying, okay, so now when it comes on you, don't look strange. Don't act strange.
Go ahead and say the title. You asked for it.
Amen.
You asked for it. Now, you just brought something to my mind. Minister Henderson, Pastor Henderson, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I need y'all. This is a roundtable discussion. I don't want to call people out to speak. I want you to just say what when you feel like you got something to say, put it out there, and you'll get my attention. I promise you. I promise you. If I hear you, you'll get my attention. But back to you, Apostle Whitler, you said something, and in the voice of what you just said, the scripture came to me out of Peter. I believe it's chapter 3 and verse 12, which says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. My brother, can we ever get the grasp and the gist of what that scripture is trying to make us understand? As we go forth in ministry, as we go forth in boldness, as we go forth as the children of the Most High, and obstacles come our way, and people try to impede our progress, and individuals are trying to block us from moving forward, and we're sitting there trying to figure out, why are they doing this? Hello, did it ever dawn on you that you are walking into your purpose? You're not going to just walk into your purpose. Don't think for 30 seconds the devil's going to just let you walk into your purpose. His job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's going to do whatever he needs to do to discourage you, to distract you, to disrupt you, to try to get you off track, to try to put you in a situation, a circumstance where you're going to throw in the towel and you're going to give up and you're going to holler, I quit. But I'm here to say to somebody that's listening to us, whether it's by radio or whether it's by Facebook Live or whether it's by TikTok or wherever you are, and I hear Apostle Vincent L. Smith, I'll get to you in a minute, sir. God bless you. Thank you for coming in. But whoever you are, I'm going to encourage you, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, I need you to stay steadfast. I need you to be unmovable. I need you to continue to abound in the work of the Lord. He told the Galatians on another occasion, be not weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now is not the time to fall down. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to just give up. Now is the time to be that much more pressing. And if it didn't work today and it failed, forget about it. about it. You can't look back on yesterday. I use this analogy a lot, and I'm going to use this, and then I'm going to address Apostle Vincent L. Smith. I believe he's here with us at this particular time. How many of you get in your car, put your car in drive, and use the rearview mirror to see where you're going? Think about that for a minute. How many of you get in your car and put your car in drive after you start it and then start looking in your rearview mirror? You don't do that. The rearview mirror is just a small reminder of where you were, but that big old windshield that's in front of you is a reminder of where you can go. Stop looking at where you were and start paying attention to where you can go. Let me slow down a minute. I know we don't have much time left, but Apostle Smith, how are you tonight, sir? Did we lose him? Okay. Well, if we get him back, Dr. Robinson, let me know. I know I heard his voice. Anybody else got any comment on what was said so far?
This is Apostle Westbrook again, and I'm very excited about this topic on tonight. Amen, and I think I've said a lot. I guess I missed you guys. But I just want you to know that, you know, you said so much, man of God, that just really touched me. And, you know, this is the kind of discussion, listening audience, that makes you want to go in the Word and read it for yourself. Amen. And find out what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you personally. But I want to bring up one, maybe two individuals I know from the Word of God that, amen, accepted the responsibility of ministry. They both were apostles. And one had an encounter with a fellow apostle, amen, who was trying to convince him, no, don't go there. Don't go to that location. I don't know the address, but I know it's in the book of Acts. Amen. And I'd love to share it with you next week if I have the invitation to come back. Amen. But he was warned not to go because there was great opposition there. And the man of God said, no, God has already spoken to me. He already knew what his assignment was. Amen. And he accepted it with the consequences. Glory to God. And the second point I wanted to make, and another thing, another great example in the Word of God, another apostle, amen. The man of God knew that he was going to face opposition, amen, and even to the fact that when they went out to minister and preach, that people wanted to kill him to the extent that they had to try to escape out the window to get away. Glory to God. But, you know, it is those types of things. I love the Word because it becomes so real to you in you know, life application. I always put myself in the picture to make it applicable to give me understanding and revelation. And what I glean from that, Bishop Elect, is that, you know, we're not always called to go to the pretty places.
No.
The best thing is a little bit. It, you know, it's not a happy Mr. Rogers neighborhood kind of situation. Everybody is not going to even want you to come. And you know what? You may go to a house. Not that we go to the house, anybody's house or anybody's sanctuary to tear it up and tear the people up. Amen. The Word of God says that he called, what, gifts. Gifts. They're called gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors. Amen. He called them as gifts to the body of Christ for the edifying, the building up. But sometimes when we go, people may not receive us. But the most important thing is not necessarily if they receive us or not, or that you have a lot of likes, or that you've gained a platform, or that, you know, you're BFFs, glory to God. The most important thing is that you have done the will of the Father, and that is what is so powerful to me, is that Jesus always said, I come to do the will of the Father. He was so connected. He was not distracted. He was not deterred. He didn't care if the Pharisees didn't like him. Amen. But still, he went and taught in their temples.
Amen.
So, we are called to the body of Christ to do the will of God, to do kingdom work. Amen.
Let me throw something at you, Apostle Westbrook, and we're going to begin to wrap this up. A very near and dear sister of ours, when we used to have Scope Tabernacle, tells me to tell you hello. Talitha Prosper. Remember her?
I love that woman of God. She blessed my soul so much. Remember that video I did when I was in the going to the house and I was locked out and it was dark and I was on a mountain and the police came and I did a live video to make sure they didn't. Anyway, I digress. But
I
go ahead, Pastor Todd.
I remember that. And see, that was, and to me, that was family, but we'll talk about that. Bishop John David, God bless you, sir. So nice to have you in the house. Bishop-elect, I'm sorry, I meant to address you as well earlier, and I know he's still here. Bishop-elect Kenneth Marsh, God bless you. Apostle Smith, can you hear us? Okay. We got to work on getting his situation. All right, so we're going to just hold right here. We covered the first portion of prayer where God, where Jabez asked God to bless him, and then we covered the enlarging of the territory or the increasing of responsibility. I think we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the third and fourth prayer. I'm going to mention them. He prays that God will stay, will be close with him. He prays that God will be with him and stay close. Now, I want to talk about that next week, when we get opportunity and chance. And then maybe at this time, we'll cover the fourth part, which God, where Jabez asked God to keep him from harm so that he would be free from pain. There's not a Christian alive that would like to be free from emotional, mental, and even physical pain. There are some out there dying today for the sake of the gospel. You know, and we want to get into that in its entirety and in its discussion. I do appreciate each and every one of you coming on. Let me start with you, Minister Henderson. Any final thoughts that you want to throw out there as we bring this to a close tonight?
Yes, sir. I mean, the only thing that I would just say to kind of tie everything together, because the discussion was so good, so I just kind of sat back and listened. But whenever you ask for something from God, the way Jabez did, we have to know that once you ask for something, we have to put the work in as well. Nothing is going to come easy. You know, you have to sow into that thing and understand that there are natural laws and spiritual laws that come into play when you're asking for something as well, that you have to consider. So it's not going to come easy, but, you know, the power of life is in your tongue. So it starts there with communication and prayer to God, but then there's some work that we have to put in as well.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want to, before I go to you, Pastor Henderson, one of our TikTok individuals, least of these, is what she says. Here's what she has. She quoted from Proverbs, I think it's 27 or 20. I know it's over there somewhere. It's either verse 27 or chapter 27. I don't remember the verse. She says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. That is powerful all by itself. And then she turns around and says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Again, two powerful verses of scripture. We want to hold on to that because she's right in what she's saying. We speak into existence in line with the word of God, those things that we're looking for God to do. Now, come on, Pastor Henderson, and we do thank you so much for staying with us. Now, some of you don't know, continue to pray for our dear sister as she went through an ordeal. You don't need to know all the details. Just when you get in your prayer closet tonight before you close your eyes to go to sleep, mention the name Pastor Henderson and ask for God's blessing upon this great woman of God. The enemy is trying to attack her, and I mean in a very vicious way. But God, let me stop right there because I'm about to have church all by myself. Come on, Pastor Henderson.
But God, he's a miracle worker. Oh, yes, he is. He is a miracle worker. Truly, I thank and I praise God, amen, for the discussion tonight. Amen. I just thank God for all that we've heard on tonight. And I just want to encourage someone to just keep trusting God and believe him. You know, Jabez, even though his name met pain and might have been going through pain and all that he may have been going through, he believed God enough to ask him and to believe that God was willing to give him a blessing. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He wants his people, he's willing to bless us.
And so don't be afraid to ask God. Don't be afraid to get before his presence. The Bible tells us to call upon him, and he will answer us and show us greater and more things that we know not. So don't be afraid to call on your God, because he is a God that will answer, and he will be on time, in time, before time in your life. So just trust him, and don't lose faith in God. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth, but he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we thank and praise God for the discussion and our faith in him tonight, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let me turn my attention to our producer. I'm saving you for next to last, Apostle Westbrook. Don't go nowhere. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, come and talk to us.
Yes. Well, everything was well said, and I just want to add in that God would never give you what you can't handle. So I know that is the plan for God.
That's
and
right.
So when you ask
That's
for
right.
something, he's not going to give it to you if you're not prepared for it. He's not going to put more on you than you can bear. And that also means that he's not going to give you more than you can bear. So with that being said, people may want a quick microwave blessing, and they may do it their way to get it, but it won't last, because anything that you do that is not orchestrated by God, it won't last. The only thing that will last when God does it himself, and that's why sometimes when he does bless you, it is a growing in grace process. It's not a quick microwave. Those quick microwaves are the ones that tend to do things themselves. I mean, God can do it, but he only does that when, well, he can do that if he wants to.
Uh-huh.
He only does that when you're ready. So to the new believers, this is a long process. It's beautiful to be in the Lord. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. But one thing I can truly say, you are secured. And that is one thing that keeps me going on, and knowing that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and I'm more than a conqueror. We are co-heirs to Jesus. And so with that being said, we went on both sides. We may not have the big houses, or we may have the big houses on earth, but I am so sold out for my eternal place. And so, yes, I do strive for things, but I don't allow those things to get to me if I don't get them, but I do strive. But if you don't get those things, it doesn't mean that God didn't want you to have them. He may have better things for you. Maybe he wants you to be a blessing to someone when it comes to your light, because your light can shine to those who are in darkness, and that is a blessing too. So sometimes blessings is not always materialistic things. Sometimes blessings are spiritual things. That's why we need to focus on the more of the spiritual things, not the earthly things, because the earthly things are perishing away. He said anything that is a temple is perishing, is vanishing away. So when we focus on the kingdom things, such as joy, love, peace, and all of those wonderful fruit of the Spirit, we will be blessed and singing hallelujah and praising our Lord Jesus Christ all day, every day, even on earth and in heaven. And you don't get tired of doing it, because you know how blessed you are when you have a relationship with God. So in closing, God will never place more on you than you can bear.
Amen. So appreciate you. Now we're going to go to our very vocal, and I appreciate her vocalness, because, I mean, her passion just rains right through when she talks. Well, you know, they say birds of a feather flock together, and the reason why I can relate to Pastor Apostle Westbrook is because I'm like that too. And when I'm sharing something, I'm not screaming at people. It's just my passion coming through. Apostle Westbrook, come on.
Yes, sir. I'm just so excited about what I heard from the women of God. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about them being on this panel tonight. Well, I'm just excited about being here. Amen. But what I'd like to say to our listening audience is the Bible tells us that to much is given, much is required. I believe that Apostle Whitlow brought that scripture forward. Amen. But also the Bible says, hallelujah, that when he calls you, he's already predetermined something.
Uh-huh.
He already knows what's on your plate, if I may be, if I may say so. Amen. He's not, it's not like he don't know. Glory to God. He's God. But I don't want to digress. Amen. I know we're at the end of the hour. There's so much I want to say, but let me get to the point. People, listening audience, and particularly those who are new listeners, it's not some great formula, glory to God. It is equal to, according to your faith, according to the measure of faith that you have, let it be done unto you. If you can believe God for him to allow you to move in the fullness of who he is, and that his word is absolute, hallelujah, and that he has given you the same power and authority, and that whatsoever you say, that you will, it will be done. As it is in heaven, so let it be in this earth realm according to the measure of faith that's within you. Amen?
Amen.
But I believe the Spirit of God is not, he's not, oh, glory to God, he's not partial. He shows no partiality. Just because we may have quote-unquote titles, titles mean nothing without the anointing. Yeah. Titles mean nothing without relationship. And I think the most important thing is that Jabez understood that with relationship, he could ask such a thing. Hallelujah. He could ask the Lord, Lord, bless me indeed. You've seen all the pain and suffering that I've gone to. Lord, I need you to bless me right here where I'm at right now. Meet me where I'm at, Lord God. I don't have all of the things that people that are greater than that me. But, Lord, you know who I am, and you know my heart, and you know that I love you and my desire is to serve you with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind. Lord, use me according to your will, according to the volume of the book that's written about my life. Let it be done unto me as it is in heaven, so let it be in this earthen vessel. Use me, Lord. So I believe that it comes down to that. That if you have a heart, oh my God, today, you hear my passion. If you have the passion that meets your mission, and you have the heart and the commitment and the full surrender, my God, today, there's nothing that he will not do for you, with you, oh my God, through you. And all he asks is for us to love him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Amen.
Amen. Now, closing us out, he'll be the last. I'll be the last voice you hear for this podcast. But Apostle Irvin Whitlow, your closing thoughts, sir. Apostle Whitlow, I think we lost him, huh? Okay. Well, since he's not here, let me say this, and I'm going to close. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard. Pastor E. is what the new name is. It used to be Preacher 719. It don't matter what you call me at the moment, because here it is in a nutshell. You've been listening to the Pastor's Corner, our weekly radio podcast here on Elations Radio, Block Talk Radio and Elations Radio. And special thanks to Dr. Kimmy Robinson for producing the show. And those of you who are on TikTok, those of you who are on Facebook Live, we so appreciate the both of you joining us tonight. I didn't want to do too much social media. I'm actually trying to do less social media because I need to spend more time paying attention to what's going on with the show in and of itself. But these two are entities in and of themselves. But let me say this. God has the ability to take the little that we have and turn it into much if we only learn how to ask. I know somebody out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. Apostle Whitlow made mention of the scripture. Apostle Whitlow, are you back before I finish? I guess he's not. Apostle Whitlow made mention of Ephesians 3:20 earlier in the podcast. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We have to take into consideration the fact that when we go into prayer, whether it's intercessory, whether it's supplicatory, or whatever the case may be, It's not rocket science. It's literally acknowledging our inability and acknowledging God's ability. We come before our Father in heaven with empty hands, but we have high hopes. Why? Because we know God can do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine. When we ask the question, what is it that you want God to stretch? Those of you listening to us by radio, wherever you may be, or those who are listening right now by social media, ask God to stretch something in your life. But remember this. In your asking God to stretch whatever it is you want stretched in your life, remember, you ask for it. There are going to be some things that are going to come with this. There are some things that are going to have to be dealt with. There are going to be some obstacles that you're going to have to get through, get by, get over. There are some people you're going to have to work with, work around, walk away from. You're going to lose some time. You're going to lose some patience. You're going to lose some weight. You're going to lose some hair. You might lose some sleep. But stay focused. Wherever it is, God is trying to take you. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard, Jr. for the Pastor's Corner. We want to give special thanks to our panelists tonight, Apostle Irving Whitlow, Apostle Dawn Westbrook, Pastor Anna Henderson, Minister Paula Henderson, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and, of course, we miss tonight our dear beloved Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, but more than likely he'll be back with us next week. Thank you, guys. Sister Talitha, I know you're still there on Facebook. We have to have a conversation because I need somebody that can handle social media for me when you're available. So at some point in time, let's reach out to each other and talk. She used to do our Scope Tabernacle, and she did such an awesome job. I pray, God, that she's available to work with us again. Nonetheless, it's time for us to move forward. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, let me not forget, please, on October 9th, that's this coming Saturday, let's start with you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Please give us information, time, date, and place of the event that you are hosting. Please talk to us. Dr. Kim?
I'm so sorry. Right. I was on mute. We have a wonderful event called the Gospel Explosion, and what it all entails is hip-hop music at its finest on a gospel level. And we're going to have it on this Saturday from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. in St. Louis, Missouri. And it's going to be hosted at the Carry the Cross Church, and the address is 14955580 New Halls Ferry. For more information, 314-546-8567. It's going to be hip-hop music, bunch of testifying, bunch of dancing, and just praising the Lord on a different realm, because I am told by God that don't put him in a box. He can use anyone. So we're going to just come from a hip-hop flavor.
Amen. Also on October 9th, up in the New Haven area, North Haven, Connecticut, to be exact, it's the 15th annual Hollaback Gospel Music Excellence Award, featuring Leandria Johnson, the legendary Vanessa Bell Armstrong, and one of the funniest comedians that's on the market for Christians, Brother Willie Brown, along with Lady Free and Sister Vera Franklin and Jasonda Productions, Sister Jasonda Medley, George Truly, this event with Dr. Jerry Green. And basically, if there are any tickets for that, go to www.hollaback.gospelmusicawards.com to check. If you're in the New Haven area, you can go to Kevin's Seafood. And if they have any tickets left, you can go ahead and purchase those tickets. We look forward to seeing you there. Along with all that I just mentioned, our very own Nina Taylor is going to be there to help with facilitate some of the presentations. So we do have a lot of very powerful and prominent and just God-loving, God-fearing people that are going to be there. I don't know if it's going to be podcast. If it is, we'll definitely try to tap into the podcast. And if not, well, not much we can do. Nonetheless, Lord bless you. I hear a lot of background noise. Hold the background noise for 5 seconds, please. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Dr. Kimmy Robson, get that song ready. Let's try to eliminate that background noise. Let's eliminate that background noise. We're still doing a radio podcast. Any radio podcaster would tell you background noise is always a no-no, but we're going to let it go. Nonetheless, in your hands, Dr. Robinson, the Lord bless you. Facebook, TikTok, stay soon. Stay tuned. I said stay soon. Listen to me. Stay tuned. While she's signing us off, I'll just sign you guys off. So, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, it's in your hands. Come on.
There's a war going on. with a fight going on.
Talk about it. Don't just show up because you want to make a circus out of something. We don't do circus, okay? We sincerely do not do circus. The Lord bless you.